Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of a series entitled Why I Am No Longer a Roman Catholic. This is part six, The Saints. In Catholic theology, the term saint is reserved for those individuals who have led a holy and exemplary life and now have entered heaven. The process of becoming a saint is termed canonization, and the first known canonization was of Ulrich of Augsburg in 973. Within the Catholic Church, there exists a special department called the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, which oversees the whole process. They would thoroughly investigate the life of the individual, checking for Orthodox belief and any miracles claimed as a result of their intercession. The appearance of miracles is taken that the person is now in heaven and can intercede for us as part of the communion of saints. Once the congregation has completed their work, the Pope may issue a decree declaring the person to be blessed, that is, beatified. Once beatified, another miracle is then required to allow the Pope to declare the individual a saint. A feast day may then be allocated and veneration of the saint encouraged. This is a quote from an article entitled Introduction to Roman Catholicism, The Saints. Saints can become patrons of various causes, people groups, or places. For example, St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland, and St. Anthony of Padua is the patron saint of lost articles. In other words, if we lose something, we can pray to St. Anthony to ask his help in finding it. Veneration of the saints is the way in which the Catholic Church honors and respects those whom it regards as deserving such action. Catholic theology draws a clear distinction between veneration and worship. Three Greek terms illustrate this point. Latria, worship, the adoration that is due to God alone. Dulia, servitude, the respect given to the saints. Honoring the saints is seen as nourishing God because of his presence and holiness in their lives. Hyperdulia, higher servitude, the special veneration given to the Virgin Mary on account of her role as the mother of Christ. This is a quote taken from the same article mentioned before. In the Bible, however, saints are all those people who have been set apart to God. If we put our faith and allegiance in Christ, we are automatically a saint. This is the meaning of the word holy. Sanctification also derives from the same Greek word hagios. In the closing of his letter, second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul uses the word hagios to describe everyone in the church. 2 Corinthians 13, 12 through 14 reads, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That's the New American Standard Bible. We become holy ones or saints by the election or choice of God and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2 reads, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen or elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work, hagiosmos, of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure." New American Standard Bible. Our part in the matter is to cooperate with the Spirit's internal work in our lives by responding to the gospel and receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. Through this process, we are born again in the Spirit and become saints. That is, people set apart to God. From that point until our death and entrance into heaven, we undergo a sanctifying process through which we are conformed more and more to Christ's image. At the resurrection, our bodies will be renewed through a process called glorification. This three-part process is all part of God's great salvation. If you wish to read more about this, I have given a link in my article to another blog called Spirit, Soul, and Body. The new birth puts us into a right relationship with God through justification, the ongoing work of God's Spirit day by day to transform our thinking, words, and behavior to become more like Christ is called sanctification. The resurrection of the body is called glorification. Justification took place at the cross and becomes ours when we confess Christ as Lord. Sanctification requires a daily surrender to the ongoing work of the Spirit in our lives. Glorification is in the future at the second coming. In the meantime, no matter what stage of the process of sanctification we find ourselves, we are saints, people set apart by God for God. By making saints special people who achieve exemplary holiness to attain heaven, the Roman Catholic Church veers away from the biblical meaning of sainthood. I have heard many people declaim that I am no saint, meaning that they have plenty of faults. Well, the good news and bad is that all saints have plenty of things wrong with them. That is why Jesus had to come and die for us. No one is able to attain holiness apart from the free gift of justification, whereby Christ's holiness and perfection is transferred to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads, "He, Father God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." New American Standard Bible. The Roman Catholic Church puts a person on the performance treadmill instead of encouraging them to simply receive what Christ has done for us. No one can possibly become good enough to become a saint. It is a free gift. This goes back to my second article in this series on grace versus legalism. You may wish to read that now if you have not done so already. Regarding the saints acting as prayer intermediaries for the living here on earth, I have already covered the truth that we do not need such intermediaries in a previous article on Mary. Jesus is our supreme intercessor in heaven. Nowhere in the Bible are we asked to turn to anyone else. In fact, Jesus told us to pray directly to the Father, not to some saint. By introducing the concept of layers of prayer intermediaries, the Roman Catholic Church distracts us from our true purpose in life, which is direct fellowship with God and coming to know Him in a greater way. People who have lived as followers of Christ before us should be remembered with honor, but not venerated or made prayer intermediaries or patrons. Perhaps those who have died and gone to heaven already do pray for us, but since the Bible makes no mention of this, we should certainly not go beyond what God has revealed in the Bible to establish doctrine and practice. Thanks for listening.